Well, the weekend it is. Welcome aboard At Home with Gary Sullivan. Thanks for joining me. Another weekend getting some things done around the home, and yippee. It's that time of year where we can get a lot of stuff done. You know, more daylight, more time to be outside. Let's talk about your home projects. Yesterday
temperatures.
We had a great show, by the way. And if you want to pick that up on the podcast, do so. We were very, very busy, and we covered all kinds of subject matters, from concrete to decks to painting your house to humidity levels to mold, and a lot of good information. You can pick it up. It's on the iHeart app. Download it. It's free. Click podcast, At Home with Gary Sullivan. Each hour is broken down there, and you can get, like I said, some good information on it. So if you missed yesterday's show, you can pick it up. If you're listening right now and you couldn't get through yesterday, well, right now is a real good time because all the lines are open. You can ask your home improvement question. Our number is 800-823-8255, 800-823-8255. We'll be taking your calls for the next hour and a half. Then Peter Deitch is going to join me. You know, over the last probably 3 weeks, we've had so many questions regarding his brand new product called Rock Patch. I need to get Peter back on. He was kind enough to say he'll join us, and I appreciate it because he's on vacation. And he's in Vancouver, which is a long way from where he lives. And he said, yeah, I'll get up and you know, West Coast time, Pacific time. And he said, I'll get up and join you. And so we'll talk about Rock Patch again. And then we're going to talk about a decorative coating over that called Spread Stone. We talk a lot about some of his products, but they are really unique products, and they're very, very durable products. So in about an hour and a half, Peter Deitch will join us, and we'll kind of kick that around. Plus, I got a lot of tips for your summertime projects. One of the simplest ones, and just kind of went through this just the other day, so I thought I'd pass it on to you. I get thoroughly confused about twice a year, actually more than that, but twice a year I get thoroughly confused because I never can figure out which way the ceiling fan goes. And really all you need to do is stand under it. If the fan is blowing down on you, that's the correct setting for the summertime, which, by the way, will have the blades going counterclockwise. In the wintertime, you want it to go clockwise. But in the summertime, you want it blowing down on you. In the wintertime, you want it to be pulling a column air up around you, hit the ceiling, and then go down the side walls just to stir up the air. So that's one tip. The other tip, and first thing I did this morning when I woke up, and you know, there's some things I am a little crazy about. Talking a
only
lot about
some things.
Yeah, just some things. Not everything. My wife may tell you otherwise, but not everything.
I may tell you otherwise.
You may, but cleaning gutters is one. Yeah, keeping the water away from the foundation. Yeah, that's one. Humidity levels in your house, definitely one. And we had that whole discussion yesterday. And, you know, where the temperatures are and a lot of humidity levels up. So checking that humidity level in your home, good idea. Mine was 48%. Perfect for the summertime. Absolutely perfect. So
42% in here today.
Is that right?
Nice, yeah, not bad.
You're not scratching or anything, are you? Because it's so dry.
No.
Actually, 42% is pretty nice, too.
Yeah.
Summertime, if you can keep it around 50 to 55%, it's kind of really where you want to be. I mean, you could certainly be from 40% to 55%, but usually you can't get it down to 40%. But we can talk about lowering the humidity level in your home if yours is creeping upwards. Your air conditioner, in a lot of cases, is the biggest dehumidifier you have in your home. But you want to make sure that that fan is not running full time. You just put it on automatic. When the air conditioner kicks in, the fan kicks in. And it'll pull the moisture right out of the air. The coils will dry off. It'll kick back on again. So that's the way that whole thing works. But if you don't have a humidity gauge, get one. You can kind of monitor it. Especially folks listening right now may have a basement. It's the time of year you go down the basement. It's nice and cool. And sometimes damp. Which is not cool. So if your basement's running a humidity level of 65% right now, eventually it's going to be a stack effect. It's going to work its way up to the first floor of the house, and then you're going to have the job of trying to lower that humidity throughout the house, which is a little bit more involved, but certainly can be done. Use those fans in the bathroom and cooking. If you've got a air exchanging unit in the house, yep, make sure that's on. And a lot of times they have a humidistat, set that thing at 50%. Make sure that dryer vent is getting all that heated, moist air out of your house. Run into a lot where those hoses aren't connected tightly to the vent. There's usually a hose clamp around it. And a lot of times just part of that hose is on. And, of course, it spews that warm, moist air into the house, which just drives up the humidity level. All right, so there's a couple of tips this time of year. I want to give you the phone number. And, again, if you've got a question around your home, we can cover it. Deck ceiling, concrete repair, painting on the outside, asphalt driveway ceiling, all the things that you want to tackle. Also, when you're using your hose, I was out probably 7:30 this morning just watering the plants. And when I turned the hose off, you know, make sure you squeeze that nozzle and get all that water out of the hose. That'll make that hose last a little bit longer. So the phone number is 800-823-8255. That's 800-823-8255. You can grab a line. If this is the year that you're going to do a little painting on the exterior home, there's a couple things you, well, kind of need to check off your list on where to start, what you're going to do, and because it's not just a matter of painting the house. There's a lot that goes into it, of course. First thing is just choosing the color. Maybe that's out of your pay grade, but choosing the color is certainly an important factor of it. A lot of times, I think, today, paint is marketed more as curb appeal than what it actually does. It's certainly a big part of curb appeal, but it's also, remember, that's the protectant to your whole home. That's the protectant. It's the protectant that's, you know, sealing the wood, you know, eliminating wood rot. And picking the color is great, but remember why you're really painting that house. Also, selecting the sheen. You know, there's flat, there's satin, there's semi-gloss. In most cases, you're going to paint your house with a flat acrylic exterior paint. You might do the trim work in a satin acrylic. Sometimes people just do flat on both, but sometimes it's a nice accent if you put a little satin sheen on the trim work. But also the caulking that's involved. You know, if you have a siding, a wood siding on the house where the seams are, make sure those are caulked in the corner. Keeping water out of any seams will certainly keep that wood from swelling and possibly rotting. Caulking around windows, caulking around the windows in the substrates, whether it's a siding or brick. Those are all critical areas. Those are the weakest points in the whole envelope of the house. So, unfortunately, to do the caulking, you got to get the old stuff out. And that's a chore. But to do it right, take a look at the caulking around the siding and around windows, doors, that type of thing. And, of course, get that filled in there. Of course, cleaning the surface, good, bondable, clean surfaces. That's the key to a successful paint project. All right, I'll give you the phone number one more time. You can line them up. We'll kick things off with your calls. It's 800-823-8255. You're at home with Gary Sullivan.
Weekends mean a never-ending list of things to do around your home. Get help at 1-800-823-TALK. You're at home with Gary Sullivan.
Hi, it's Gary Sullivan here. Are you tired of looking at your drab outdoor concrete surfaces? Well, cover your dull concrete and transform the look of your home in a weekend. You can use Roller Rock, a rollable stone coating from Deich Coatings. Roller Rock is a tough stone coating you can apply by using a roller and brush to dramatically improve the surface all around your home or business with a real stone finish that lasts. Roller Rock comes in 15 colors, so go and plan your next project at DeichCoatings.com.
Jaws, the Just Add Water System, has my favorite refillable household cleaners and the best glass cleaner I've ever used. Jaws has a cleaner specifically designed for every room of your home. The Jaws Ultimate Cleaning Kit includes six of their high-performance cleaners for every hard surface in your home, including my favorite glass cleaner. Each kit comes with two refillable pods of each cleaner, along with the color-coordinated microfiber towels for only $49.99 and free shipping. Get Jaws Cleaners at JawsCleans.com.
Dirty siding? Don't scrub it, wet and forget it. Wet and Forget, the easy outdoor cleaner. Wet and Forget works overtime with Mother Nature to eliminate unsightly black and green stains on the exterior of your home. With no scrubbing, power washing, or bleach, use Wet and Forget on all your exterior outdoor surfaces, including decks, siding, roofs, and patios. Wet and Forget's available in concentrate or extreme reach hose end. Purchase Wet and Forget in-store or online at Lowe's, Menards, or Walmart. Well, our friends at Awesome are working hard to make your cleaning jobs easier. Awesome works to remove gunk and goo caused by biofilm buildup in jetted bathtubs, spas, swimming pools, washing machines, garbage disposals, and shower drains. Black flakes, bad odors, and slow drains are history when the power of Awesome is unleashed. Awesome is non-corrosive, septic safe, and works fast. I've been using Awesome in my home with great results for years. Proudly made in the USA. Get it clean, keep it clean. Get Awesome. AHHSOME.com.
All right, back at it we go, 20 minutes after the top of the hour, at home with Gary Sullivan, taking your calls and talking a little home improvement on your weekend. Jeff, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Great. How can we help?
I just bought a new home, and I went up in the attic, and they've sprayed foam all over the rafters. And they air condition it, you know, at the same temperature as my first floor. And I'm just thinking that's all inefficient. And I'm wondering if I can, like, dehumidify that rather than air condition it or what.
Well, I'll tell you, there is a trend, and you're in Houston, Jeff, and it's a big trend pretty much in the Southeast and Southwest. It's called whole house encapsulation. And that whole process is, quite honestly, kind of spreading north. It was, I guess its purpose is, especially if you have your air handler up in an attic, and that attic is, 140 degrees. Maybe it's less than that if it's properly ventilated. It might be down to 110 degrees in Houston. And, you know, we started ventilating attics probably mid to late 70s, and this whole house encapsulation has been going on for about 10, 12, 15 years. Started out with a foam manufacturing called Isonine. And actually, it's pretty efficient. Except you said one thing that has me a little concerned, and that is the way a whole house encapsulation usually works is underneath the roof and on the sides, walls in the attic, those are all foamed. So you create, you know, kind of a thermos bottle effect in the attic, which then allows the air that's cooled in the house to migrate up into the attic. A lot of times they'll even remove the insulation on the floor. Won't be any foam on the floor. There won't be any insulation on the floor. And they just allow.
That's correct. There's not.
Okay. So that's, you know, that's the way it's designed to do is, and then it takes the pressure off the air handler, and it kind of manages.
All the ductwork, yeah.
Yeah. It kind of manages the amount of heat that's in that attic. So when you said air condition, I don't think it would have vents in the attic. Maybe yours does.
No, mine has an intake in the attic and a one vent blowing air-conditioned air in. And I'm just thinking that's just and the temperature up there is, you know, about the same as in a house. And I'm thinking I can have a little bit of different temperature.
Yeah, I think you can. I think you can. I'd probably contact my HVAC person, really, because it, you know, all these systems are very balanced. The question, if you're blowing cool air in there and you got an outtake, where's that outtake taking the air?
Well, no, it's got a, in the intake side of it, there is a vent to suck air in, and it also has, after the evaporator, it has the exhaust.
Okay.
So it's complete, but okay. I'm thinking I can seal up that intake and just let the natural, or just let
well,
air.
You may be able to do that. I don't know where your temperature would fall. Okay. I mean, I agree,
right.
You know, but I don't know if that means it's then 90 degrees or then that means it's 120 degrees. I don't know. When does that turn
and
off?
No, I'm only thinking, 70 degrees in the house and maybe 80 degrees or 90 at the most in the attic. That's
Well, and then I guess you got to figure out.
I appreciate the.
Yeah, you're going to have to figure out how you're going to do that, because I don't know what's controlling that. My guess is it's a thermostat down in the house. When it satisfies that, that's when it shuts off the air conditioning going into the attic. So maybe you could develop maybe a wireless thermostat and have zone cooling in the attic.
No, and it's not that sophisticated. I can see. I'm thinking about maybe adding a humidity monitor up there. To me, that's the key is the humidity. It's not the temperature.
No question. And quite honestly, in an attic, maybe not so much in your case, but in attics, that's where a lot of problems are caused, is the amount of humidity. I start off today's show saying the humidity level in my home this morning, I looked at it, it was 50%. It's absolutely perfect. But if I have a humidity gauge up in that attic and that attic is running 65% for whatever reason, and then, condensation can occur. You can get mold on the foam, you get mold on the rafters, on the joists. So, yeah, keeping that humidity in check below 60% up in that attic, I think, is key also.
All right, well, you gave me some good numbers there. I think I'm going to set up a monitoring system and see how that works.
Yeah, they got those little, and what I have, I'm just passing along, you have that screen with the indoor temperature, the outdoor temperature, and your outdoor temperature, you could put that little monitoring device in the attic so that on the first floor right outside the bedroom, you can always see what the heat is, or what the temperature is in the attic and what the humidity level is,
right.
Very
that sounds
accessible.
Like a good idea.
Yeah, so. All right, my friend, thank you much for the call. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Take care. All right, let me give you the phone number. You can join us. It's 800-823-8255. We've got a spot for you as we continue to talk a little home improvement. We've got another Jeff on board, and we'll catch him on the other side of the half hour as we continue. You're at home with Gary Sullivan.
You don't have a list of things to do around the house, Gary will find something for you at 1-800-823-TALK. You're at home with Gary Sullivan.
Well, they say an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and that's true when it comes to preventing a basement flood. Hey, Gary Sullivan here from my friends at Roto-Rooter Plumbing and Water Cleanup. They're the sump pump experts and can install a backup sump pump that'll prevent basement flooding even during a power outage. And if your primary pump is getting up in the years, well, Roto-Rooter can replace that too. Trust me, a lot cheaper than a flooded basement. Call Roto-Rooter at 1-800-GET-ROTO today.
Erica, families that suffer from allergies, can an Easy Breathe ventilation system help them, and how's that work?
Yes, Gary, Easy Breathe can certainly help families that suffer from asthma and allergies by creating air exchanges, removing dirty, damp air from the home, and replace it with cleaner, drier air. Customers tell us they have less coughing, less sneezing, less congestion. Overall, they just feel better.
Well, I'll tell you, I have my Easy Breathe. I absolutely love it. It's easybreathe.com or 866-822-7328.
I've always gotten a lot of calls on the Home Improvement Show asking how to get rid of nasty odors in listeners' homes, campers, boats, and autos. Well, because of my personal experience and success with Odor Exit and feedback I received from listeners who have used the product, I highly recommend it to eliminate all kind of odors, animal urine, smoke, mold, and mildew odors, gone without a pungent, overwhelming fragrance. I always keep Odor Exit in my home. Visit odorexit.com. That's odorexit.com. So you're staring out the window at your new patio furniture, wishing you could sit outside and enjoy the nice weather, but you can't because there's flies everywhere. Gary Sullivan here. It doesn't have to be this way. Head to your favorite home improvement store and pick up a rescue fly trap. Easy to use, and they start catching flies fast, so you can get back to enjoying that lovely patio. Find rescue fly traps in the lawn and garden section at the home improvement and hardware retailers near you. You can learn more at rescue.com. That's R-E-S-C-U-E.com.
All right, back at it we go, 33 minutes after the top of the hour, working our way through the weekend. Thanks for joining me. We got a line open for you as we discuss your home projects. It's 800-823-8255. Go ahead and grab an open line. And Jeff, welcome.
Hi, Gary.
Yes,
how
are
you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing okay. I have a structural engineering question for you, if you could help.
Well, we'll see.
I had a single water event where a lot of water came off a adjacent property at the back wall of my home and caused a horizontal crack the entire length of the wall in the basement. Mm-hmm. And they sent out a structural engineering person and said this was hydrostatic pressure. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that hydrostatic pressure could do such a thing as a massive wall of water hitting the back of the side of the wall of a house. Mm-hmm. So I was just curious what your thought and opinion might be on that one.
To be honest with you, I totally agree with it. I mean, even without even all the particulars, hydrostatic pressure is probably responsible for most of the cracks in basement walls, period. The ones that are really big-time problematic cracks are more the vertical ones than the horizontal ones. And that's more of a water table issue. And as the water table goes up and it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. It's like standing in a beach on the beach, you know, with your feet in the sand and waves hitting it. It just eventually sinks and you'll get a vertical crack. A horizontal crack, you know, nobody wants one, but it's less destructive, less to be concerned. Well, you still want to be concerned about it, but so did the structural engineer firms, when they took a look at it, they told you what caused it. I agree with that. Did they talk about a solution for it now?
No, that's where I was going to go with my next question. There was some stepping in spots previous to the horizontal crack, but I was told never really worry about the stepping. But if I got a horizontal crack, it's starting, but I have one the entire length of
right.
the wall.
Right. That's where I'd really like to know, you know, because, you know, really it there are some things you got to delve into, and really having a structural engineer is a really good idea. I was just curious if he had suggestions on fixing it. I am not a structural engineer. There are numerous products out there and ways to stabilize that wall. I would say if it's all the way across, that might be something you want to really delve into. For instance, there's bracing that goes from the joist all the way down into the concrete slab with
I'd heard that the bracing is about $5,000 every 5 to 7 feet they go, and I've also heard that that's not that actually the way to do this is replace the entire wall. Now I don't know how they would do that. Got to be one heck of a project.
Well, there's also, I want you to take a look at, and the bracing is not necessarily my favorite, but there is a product out on the market, and you can Google it and read about it. It's actually made, it's a carbon fiber, not a film, but it's a carbon fiber material that is actually put on the inside of the wall, which will stabilize a concrete wall that's cracked. And I've seen that implied. It's a big problem with a lot of block foundations. They actually bow.
Is that an injection material where you inject that into the crack?
No, this is almost a surface material. It's called stable wall, or stay built. STA.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, STA-BILT, I think.
So you would coat the whole wall with that.
You would. Yeah, it's okay. Literally like it's like wallpaper, only it's carbon fiber. And I forget.
And it doesn't peel like wallpaper.
No, it doesn't peel. You don't have to worry about seams either. But I'd look into that. I think
stable
that's
wall. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I think that's now the injection things. That's cool. A lot of people, if they have cracks in a concrete wall, actually at a foundation where some of the concrete form pins that were in the concrete had rusted, which is kind of interesting. And over time, they disintegrated. And I had epoxy injections put in there under pressure. That was 15, 20 years ago. No problem.
Yeah, the epoxy injection looked like an interesting route. It's not as expensive as bracing and so forth, but that actually does work, you think, huh?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, Gary.
Did for me.
I appreciate all this. Stable
all right,
wall. I'll look that up. Thank you, bud.
Sounds great. Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, again, our number is 800-823-8255. I don't know where you are, but I'm telling you where I am. We had a really, really wet spring. I think it was really wet. About, I don't know, the beginning of May, it's like the water valve got shut off. And if you live in an area where you have a lot of clay, this is the worst-case scenario for your foundation. And what I'm talking about is clay just absorbs all that moisture and just pushes against the house and pushes hydrostatic pressure big time. But then when you get to a, you know, drought, big drought, small drought, whatever, that water evaporates out, that clay starts shrinking and pulling away from the foundation. So you're pushing against the foundation, then the house is weighing down on the foundation. Think about more movement. Movement's bad. Movement's bad for concrete. Those two don't go along very well. So I've even told people you take a little hose, a little, you know, you've seen these, I guess they're sprinkler hoses with little holes in, just wet that foundation every now and then. Keep that clay moist. Don't flood it with water or the basement's going to leak, but just keeping that moist, keeping that clay up against the foundation is, that's advantageous. Scott, welcome.
Cincinnati, and glad to pick you up on the radio.
Yes, sir.
I've got what I think is a very unique water/plumbing issue. We just bought a house that's 2 years old in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And I'll be darned if in the bathroom where we have two sinks, every time we use the water in the sink, you know, brush teeth, wash hands, whatever, the water has a weird, funny, nasty odor to it. But here's the kicker: it doesn't happen anywhere else in the house. It doesn't happen in the shower that's 10, 15 feet away from it, in the kitchen sink, or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never in my 57 years ever run into something like this before, and I'm thinking it's got to be the faucet has trapped something. But before I tear into it, I thought, I'm going to call the man and see what he says.
Well, I got another idea for you, okay?
And please.
If you look at your vanity bowl, there'll be an overflow on the front edge of the bowl.
Yes, sir.
All right. Here's what happens or what can happen is everything we use in a bathroom anymore is gel. We've got gel toothpaste, gel styling stuff for our hair. We got gel deodorant. We got everything's
careful,
made of gel.
Careful, Gary. I'm bald.
But you shave.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So what's been known to happen is that overflow tube, it's just a little channel that goes down into the pipe, right? So that when the water can get in there, maybe it happened one time a long time ago, and that gel coats that little pipe, bacteria grows. And then when you turn the faucet on, there's moisture. It may not be going down that tube, but there is water vapor, and it activates that bacteria, which creates that smell.
I'll be darned.
I wouldn't
have thought of that.
Yeah, so that's an option. In more cases than not, I have found that is it. There's many things you can put down there to eliminate that gel. One of them would be bleach. Just be careful with it. Use a funnel. Kind of pour it down there. It might be something you need to maintain. I would try that just right away. I had a plumber tell me that he uses Cascade dishwashing soap and just squirts it down there. I've not used that, but that sounded pretty cool. And then also a lot of your enzyme drain cleaners, the Drain Bows, and I think Drano even makes one now. It's an enzyme. Mix it with water and just pour that down there. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to kill the enzymes you want to kill the bacteria that's in that, which is going to eliminate the odor when you use the sink.
Well, that's a heck of a lot easier than pulling that faucet, Gary. I'm so glad I called. I'll give it a try when I get back to Lawrenceburg. And when we talk next, I'm a regular. I'll let you know if it worked or not, sir.
That sounds great. Thank you very much.
God bless you, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. The phone is yours. It's 800-823-8255. You can grab a line. We'll continue. John, you'll be up next. You're at home with Gary Sullivan.
Help for your home is just a click away at GarySullivanOnline.com. This is At Home with Gary Sullivan.
Whether you're relaxing at home, at the lake, or hitting the road this summer, Tear Mender is your best travel companion. It's an adhesive for repairing tears in all types of clothing, fabrics, leather, vinyl, footwear, and buttons. Tear Mender can repair outdoor furniture, fabric, awnings, umbrellas, tents, and backpacks, even boat cushions. It's one product you gotta have this summer. Tear Mender's available at your local hardware store, Amazon, or find a store at tearmender.com. For more, make, do, and mend solutions and ideas. Mosquitoes can transmit deadly diseases, including West Nile virus, but Summit Mosquito Dunks kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite. Just float an organic mosquito dunk in ponds, bird baths, rain barrels, and any standing water to kill mosquito larvae for 30 days or longer. Don't worry, mosquito dunks won't harm people, pets, fish, birds, or wildlife. Mosquito dunks are available at garden centers, hardware stores, and online. Visit SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. With warmer weather, there's a lot of outdoor projects that need our attention, so be sure that you're ready to tackle them all with a professional-grade lineup of blaster products by your side. It all starts with PB Blaster, the absolute best product for breaking free those rusted nuts, bolts, and parts. Then there's Blaster Silicone Lube, Garage Door Lube, the incomparable Blaster Multimax Synthetic Lube to use for practically anything and everything that moves, and so much more. So take it from me, when there's work to be done, make sure Blaster products are by your side and work it like a pro. Well, our friends at Awesome are working hard to make your cleaning jobs easier. Awesome works to remove gunk and goo caused by biofilm buildup in jetted bathtubs, spas, swimming pools, washing machines, garbage disposals, and shower drains. Black flakes, bad odors, and slow drains are history when the power of Awesome is unleashed. Awesome is non-corrosive, septic-safe, and works fast. I've been using Awesome in my home with great results for years. Proudly made in the USA. Get it clean. Keep it clean. Get Awesome. AHHSOME.com.
All right, back at it we go, 12 minutes before the top of the hour as we're chatting about your home projects, and happy to take your calls. It's 800-823-8255. Back to the lines we go. We got John. John, welcome.
Hey, Gary. Hey, first-time caller, man. Love your show.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm giving you a call about the guy with the horizontal crack in his foundation.
Uh-huh.
And I worked for my dad. He was a contractor for many years, and I worked on a job that had a crack like that.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to give the guy a couple of suggestions.
Okay.
Number one, measure the crack and make sure it's not getting bigger.
Very good point, especially even on those stair-stepping cracks. You can just take a Sharpie and see if it's continuing to progress. That's a good tip.
Right, and the job we were on, the wall, it was moving in, and they had to dig out the entire front of the house, mm-hmm. the foundation, and it popped back up straight, and the crack closed.
How did it pop up straight? Did you pull it?
Well, when they relieved all the pressure,
okay,
we had some bracing on the inside and pushed against it, and it just popped straight back up, and the crack closed. And I believe they grouted it from the outside. They drilled holes and grouted it so uh-huh. it would strengthen it. But I would definitely have that man check to make sure that the crack isn't getting bigger.
Well, yeah, I totally agree with that. The interesting thing is when he started a conversation, if you remember, he said he had a structural engineer out to take a look at it.
Right.
Which I think is a really good idea. A lot of times you hear that word and you think, oh my God, how much is that going to cost me? But the structural engineers really, they're usually offering you opinion of what it is, how serious
right.
it is, and some recommendations on repair. And it's right. you know, it's going to cost you some money, but it's not into four digits in a lot of cases. So it's not hateful.
Yeah, exactly.
And it kind of gives you a little bit of, area to play with and investigate a little bit further. Have you ever heard of that Stay-Built, that carbon fiber material to put over a wall?
No, I've never heard. There's so many new products coming out
every day.
I agree. You'd have to have 1,000 people.
I agree.
Checking information.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Product. I've not heard of bracing it and literally pushing it back in position, to be honest with you.
Well, that was after they dug out the foundation.
Right. Yeah.
And then they put in gravel and all kinds of drainage
sure.
and all the way to the surface.
Yeah. Well, one thing I preach all the time, John, and I'm sure you agree with this. All these problems normally are just, your biggest enemy of your house is water. And between that up and down and water against the foundation, he said he hadn't heard of hydrostatic pressure causing those problems, but that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, hydrostatic, it can float a house out of
yep.
the ground.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A guy told me a long time ago, and I agree with him, we dig a hole and we plant a house.
Exactly.
So, yeah. All right, my friend. I appreciate the tip there.
Well, thank you, Gary. I love your show, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good weekend. All right, let's get to Steve. Steve, welcome.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, sir.
This must be morning for first caller day. I'm a first caller, and I've got a tip, too, about that foundation wall, that a problem my dad had years ago.
All righty.
He had a block wall foundation, had a horizontal crack, ran the entire length of the it was a one-story ranch home. Mm-hmm. It ran the entire length of the basement, which was about 30 feet long. Wow. It was right halfway up the wall, about 4 feet up from the floor. Mm-hmm. The house shouldn't have been built in the lowest spot of the entire subdivision.
Yeah.
And he had that problem where it would bow out sometimes in wet weather. Naturally, all the water flowed down from the entire subdivision and ended up in his front yard. The wall would bow out probably 4 to 6 inches. He did some research and found a firm. I'm in the Midwest. He found a firm, I believe it was in Iowa. They sent a couple of men over there, and they put an anchor system in where they dug, I think it was 4 trenches perpendicular to the foundation wall in his front yard. Mm-hmm. Dug down about, I think it was equal to the floor of the basement. They took 1-inch rods and took those rods, and at one end of them was just an anchor they set at a 45 degree, well, more like a 30 degree angle. The rod went, it probably ran 20 feet out into the yard. They had a huge circle on the end of it that they packed, they tamped the ground around it where if that rod went, then they drilled through the outside of the foundation wall, ran the rod through the wall, and put a reinforcing plate about 1 foot square on the 4 rods, which were spaced out about 6 feet. Each one was about 6 feet apart. The rod was threaded on the side of the basement. They put a huge nut on top of that reinforcing plate.
Mm-hmm.
And torqued it down.
Right.
When they left, they left a new clicker torque wrench for Dad and said, you need to check the torque on these every month and run them down like 20 pounds every month. Uh-huh. And gradually over a period of about 8 months, that wall pulled back in and he never had problems again. And they told him always just go down there once a month with that torque wrench and check, you know, run it, torque it to 90
right.
pounds.
Right.
And that'll keep that wall upright. And it actually worked. It amazed me. And I just thought that'd be a tip.
Yeah, no, that is a tip. There's, when I mentioned the stable wall product, there's, at first I think I mentioned like a corner iron on the inside and bolted down to the ground. And then the other mm-hmm. one I didn't mention was the one you just described. I don't know what the official name is, but it's just basically like a giant turnbuckle with a plate on the inside
yep,
that's just
exactly.
pulling that up. And I guess that, and I'm just giving my unprofessional answer to that, I guess that is similar to what the other fellas said. They dug down and pushed. Now, I don't think I can do that anymore, but you know, that's probably why that horizontal crack is not as severe, because it can be straightened, but those vertical cracks yep. are usually a sign of bigger issues. But I do appreciate that tip. I think we gave that fella, you know, quite a few things to kind of investigate. Now it's, you know, I guess I'd look at something like that if it happened in my house. My first reaction is, oh my gosh, here we go. This is a big one. And there are solutions to that. And I thank everybody for kind of chiming in. I gave my 2 cents. You gave your 2 cents and probably helped somebody out there. That's what the show's all about. Let me give you the phone number. It's 800-823-8255. Mike, you'll be up next on the other side of the hour. We'll continue You're at Home with Gary Sullivan.
to get your hands dirty with Gary Sullivan, give him a call at 1-800-823-TALK. You're at home with Gary Sullivan.